Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that you have so generously given to each and every one of us that has believed in your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you. Father, as we get into your word again today, to persuade ourselves even deeper and better, yet the more of your love and of your counsel and of your plan for us, we receive understanding. We receive clarity in the name of Jesus. Let it be that faith arises in the heart of everyone that listens in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We are going to start some new discussion this morning. And we're going to discuss this, I don't know how long, maybe into the new year, maybe, you know. And the idea for us is just to discuss, we've called it doing life by design. And we just want to understand the Believer's Household Church vision, all right? Thinking about it, really, at the end of the day, you will know, we will all understand that it's not just a vision that is peculiar to BHC, but that it's the vision that Jesus had given to his church. All right? So we can replace that with understanding the church's vision. All right? And we've called it doing life by design. It's just common sense that if you are going to be friends to anyone, you're going to walk with anyone, you want to know where that person is going. You want to, you know, so many questions that, you know, in relationships, in teamwork, you know, in a society, you know, I see what the government, what they're trying to do with the fourth regent. They've pasted it everywhere, fourth regent, you know, just to let us know the direction the government is going, things that are happening and all right? And one of the things, let's get into it now. One of the things that is, life has got different attributes, different things happen. But one of the things that is very important in life, all right, is for you and I to know where you're going. You want to know where you are heading to, all right? So that when they ask you, where are you going? You don't want to say, well, it depends on where the car is going. No, it doesn't depend on where the car is going. It depends on where are you really going, all right? And as a church, from God's word, we're going to be persuading ourselves of the vision of the church, all right? Now, you know, some of those, we don't want to be like on, some of those guys on campus. We call them NFAs, all right? No future ambition. Now, they are students, all right? They are students. They have matric number. They came in legitimately, but then they won't go to class. They won't go to lectures at night when everybody's going to read and prep for exams. They will not even prepare, all right? But then, you know what? They could be very active in other things. You will see them in kegites. You know those kegite guys? oh boy. All right? You know, they could be very funny, all right? In social nights, you see them, all right? But what is important? They are not paying attention to it, all right? So we call them no future ambition. They don't have something that is directing their lives, all right? Or better see, maybe they have something else that, you know, they've created something else that is that should not have been the ambition, all right, for their lives. So we said direction gives meaning to movement and purpose gives value to every effort. So we want to know what's the direction we're going to. What's the purpose? What are we up to? Why the emphasis? Why must I come to church? I could as well be in my house this morning, all right? Because what we have realized is that, Daniel, many of us, we grew up in a Christian family. And praise God we did, all right? But then we just, and with that, just simply that, we have all just grown into it and not really understanding why. If you know, maybe we've caught up or we've discussed at some point, my question is why? Why are you doing what you're doing? All right? What's the purpose? All right? You want to start a relationship. Why? Don't just tell me I want to get married. Many people get married or they have children and they don't necessarily. Of course, get me right, okay? But why? There must be something. There must be a purpose. There must be a direction that is guiding our lives. And we don't want to be NFAs, all right? We want to know where we're going at every particular time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's just take it forward. So, when we ask ourselves, therefore, if anybody asks you, all right, where are you going? What's happening? All right, what's the direction, all right, of your life? If anybody asks you to state the goal of your life, of your family, of your church, all right, and etc. See, these are not questions you want to answer casually. All right, I was catching up with one of our friends also. All right, he said, okay, Pastor, what exactly do you, what are you, what's on your heart? What do you want? What are you looking forward to? All right, and I paused really to, because those are not questions, just okay, I just want money or I want people. No, those are questions when it comes to life, when it comes to family, when it comes to, you know, church, you know, things that you do. You want to have a direction. You want to know what you're doing. You don't just want to do it, you know, because people are going to, you know, the left. You are going to, no. You want to have a purpose, all right? A vision, a direction for your life. At every point in time, you must be able to say clearly. And notice what I said. That word, that adjective, clearly. I'm going to the West. I'm going to Lafrigate, all right? Not that, okay, I'm just going, where exactly are you going to? That, I don't really know, I'm just, no, that's some instability there, instability there. You want to know where you're going at every point in time. Hallelujah. And that's some of the things we're going to be discussing in this series, all right? And such that, let's take it forward now. If you must have a vision, all right? That we are encouraging ourselves to have for your family. I've got a vision for my family. All right? And I encourage everyone to just see. And those visions, you don't just come about them. It may ask, it may require that you sit down and you define it. It may, before definition, you may need to even do some reading, some research. What do I want to do with my life? All right? I read a book on campus, Expect a Miracle, Oral Robot. All right? And he's going to be with the Lord now, wonderful man of God, and all. All right? You know, and it changed, you know, it was from there that I just got a perspective to life. All right? What are you looking for in a family? What are you looking for in a church? What exactly? What vision? Don't just, okay, want to get married, everybody want to go to church, everybody, I want to do this. All right, there must be a vision. Now, moving forward from a vision, all right, because visions don't just fulfill themselves, all right, vision, we need sets of action to accomplish them. All right, now, therefore, before those set of actions, we're going to come there, you must permit me to do some technical stuff, all right, we all understand it. We must have some set of framework. I will clarify what I mean. Some mold. All right? Some pattern. All right? Some standards that will guide your actions. Before the actions now, all right? Because we will need actions, no doubt. All right? Because you don't want to be applying actions or efforts in the wrong direction. You want to have a mold, a standard. For example, we're going to read scriptures. Don't worry. For example, in I'll leave there. In compliance, for example, okay. People don't just comply to anything. I believe there's a set of framework. There's this standard. All right, that companies, organizations, they are expected to comply with. All right? It is definitive. It is defined. For example, you know, in health and safety, sir, you know, people don't just come, okay, this is safe. No, there's the rule. There's a rule book, the Bible for health and safety. All right? It's the same thing in IT. There are different standards, you know, project management, you know, there's this one that is coming to mind, Prince 2, all right? They call it project in a controlled environment, all right? That you don't, if you're going to manage projects, you've got to get from this stage to that stage to that stage. There's another one, there is that framework. There is another framework, they call it PMI, I'm telling you, you know, Project Management Institute in America, all right? Prince 2 is more of UK, all right? And, you know, they give you that body of knowledge. They call it, you know, PMBOK, all right? Body of knowledge. And what I'm trying to say is there's a framework such that, you know, a mold that will give you a defined direction to where you're going each time, all right? Framework, standards, mold, they call it. For example, is that cup empty? All right? Oh, no. Okay. If I want, you know, all you know, when you go to the beach, you try to make a you know, you get a bucket and you want to make a mold with that bucket, you put sand into it, you are guaranteed, all right, to come up with the same mold each time because you've got a framework, a template, thank you. All right, a bucket that helps you to come up with a consistent mold. Each time you put your sand into it, all right, and you press it and you lift it, it must be the same. Hallelujah. All right, you must have a vision, all right, you must have some set of actions, but between the actions, you want to get a framework that has been tested, that has been proven. All right, that can help you, that can guarantee a consistent result, consistent action each time. Hallelujah. Let's read something. Let's backtrack a bit. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there's no vision, I just want us to read that. It says, the people perish. All right, it's a very, yeah. It says, where there's no revelation, KJV says, where there's no vision, all right, the people cast off restraints, all right? So there must be a vision, therefore. We must have a vision. And now we are moving on from having a vision, all right, to having a template, a mold, a framework. So you want to ask a question, what framework, what design guides your life? Why do you do what you do? There must be something that, there must be a template, all right? I want to go from here to there, all right? There's a road that leads there, all right? You don't just want to be going in circles and you're applying effort, you're actually making movement, but then, you know, are you sure you're doing the right thing, all right? We're saying that there must be a template, a framework, a mold, a design, all right, that you must follow, all right? Now, the reason we've said doing life by design, there is that design. All right? Now, let's read 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 and 16. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. To fulfill a vision, you need more than desire. You need more than desire and actions. You need desires, no doubt. You must desire to want to make progress, to want to forge ahead. You must actually act on those desires, no doubt. All right? You will need a framework. You will need something to guide you, a guiding principle, guiding structure, guiding standard mold that will shape our actions to ensure consistency. Hallelujah. Let's see. Let's look at it now. 2 Timothy 3. 15 and 16. I want us to see something. He says, Paul was writing to Timothy. He says, and that from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise. So it means that the Holy Scripture, all right, is able to guide unto wisdom. Correct? The Holy Scriptures, all right, is a design, is a template that if you follow, all right, definitely you will be wise. Is that what we're reading there? All right, it says it's able to make. So if I say that this bucket is able to make a mold, it's able to make bricks of a consistent shape every time that I make it. You know one thing? If that bucket, all right, has got a line on it, every mold that it makes, we have that line. Consistently so. All right, because it's a mold. We are reading here now that the word of God is able to make wise unto salvation. All right, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now pay attention, verse 16. All of the scriptures, all scriptures is given, all right, by the inspiration of God, by the wisdom of God, all right? Men will write them, men will assemble them, we put them together, but the inspiration behind the scriptures, all right, the inspiration behind God's word that is, all right, that is able to make wise, all right, is from God, all right? Now, look at the bit. And it is profitable. So God's word is profitable, all right, for doctrine. Are you seeing the point? For reproof. Reproof is where you have the word evidences, all right? Evidences, proofs for correction. So if they're going to have doctrine, doctrine is a, you know, a set of principles, all right? A reasoning from God's word, the way we go about things, all right? This word doctrine, all right, it comes from the word doctor, all right? Doctor is it's got two usages, all right? The medical, yeah? But you know what you say? He doctored a document, all right? He doctored, meaning that he put some things together, all right? It could be related to what the medical doctors do because they put things to, they help put things together, all right? Carefully so, all right? So that's a related word. So it's good for putting life together. God's word, all of the scripture inspired by God is profitable for doctrine, for evidences, all right? You want to see an evidence about life, about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, all right? How our actions should be guided, how we can correct ourselves, how we can, you know, gain instruction in righteousness. Evidences, Jesus is Lord. Why? We can see it from God's word, evidences. All right, so it therefore tells me that God's word is a template, quote unquote. God's word is a framework, is a body of knowledge. All right, God's word is a mold. God's word, all right, is a mold, hallelujah, that can guide our lives. Psalm 119, verse 105. God's word is a guiding structure. If you live your life according to God's word, you are guaranteed to get to an end point. Bible says that, you know, the plans that God has for us, all right, is a good plan. And that plan is to bring us to an expected end. And that end is in Christ Jesus anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. So Psalm 119 verse 105. Look at it. It says your word is a lamp. So what does a lamp do? It guides. All right. So you see, you're following the word, okay? You want to go somewhere, but it is dark in this world, all right? So you don't want to hear someone telling you, come to the right, come to the left. You want to be able to see for yourself, so you have a lamp in God's word that shows you the path. How do I give? How do I love? How do I use my time? How do I apply effort, apply actions? How do I do that? What about church? Are we just allowed to do things or what we feel, what we, you know, how we like it? No. All right. There is a pattern. There is a line. There is a design in God's word. All right. And that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. All right. So meaning that if I must walk this way and I will not bump into doctor, there better be light here. Otherwise, I'll just go that way and I'll just be bumping. And that's what people do. Most people just walk through like that, try and error. No, there is a light in this world. God had said it wouldn't tempt us much more than we can bear. He says with all of that temptation, there is a way of escape. Hallelujah. And if there's a way of escape, we had better see that way of escape. Otherwise, life could just be like that, bumping into stuff. Oh, church A is doing this. Oh, family B is doing this. Oh, you know, Professor D. No, there must be a light. And that light we are reading, it's in God's word to guide. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We're talking about doing life by design. So the question will be, like I said, we're talking about our church, all right? We're going to get to the vision of the church in subsequent teachings. But I just want to create the premises, all right? The background for what we're going to be discussing today. That even we in our personal lives, you must have a vision. Not just a vision, desire. Not just a desire, actions. You must actually, don't just put it on your mouth and say, oh, I want to know. No, yeah, you must. But then there must be a framework. There must be something that is driving that action in order to achieve a consistent result. We are presenting to ourselves this morning that God's word is that mold. All right? He puts to check. All right? He tells me, you know, this morning, I just woke up because I knew I'd be teaching. I had to just wake up and pray. Why? It was God's word. I saw it in God's word. You don't just treat God's people because, oh, I've put some doctors, some things together. No, let's just go and talk. No, I had to just wake up and pray about it. And Lord, just help me this morning. Yeah, I've done my bit, but Lord, let this word come clearly. And all of those, I don't want to confuse people. You know, I was just praying. Where is that framework coming from? I could as well just go, I wrote my notes, all right? I've shared stuff, all right? I don't just want to dip. There is yet some things that guides our actions in order to have a consistent result. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 26. Look at Paul. Acts 26, 22 and 23. Acts 22, 26, 22 and 23. Look at it. Paul was talking to King Agrippa here. All right. In his defense, see what he said. See what he said, Paul. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day, I stand witnessing. So he's doing something. That witnessing, is that an action? Yes. All right? It's an action. That's a verb. Witnessing, present, continuous. He's doing something. But something is driving that. We're going to see what is driving that. A framework. Hallelujah. Some guiding principles. All right? Witnessing both to small and great. Saying no other things. All right? So what he was saying. So, you know, what he was saying was guided. So it's not just saying economics and saying politics and saying, you know, marriage, you know, because there are so many things to say. All right? So he said, there is something that is guiding what I've been saying. Now look at it. Saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said will come. So people that said he was teaching them not to obey the law of Moses, they didn't read this. They didn't listen to him carefully. All right? Yeah, because that was what they told Jesus as well. They said, oh, he's teaching us not to obey Moses. All right? But Paul here, he said, hey, well, I'm saying what Moses said will happen. And all of the prophets, you've got your bias. You've got your preconceived notion about the law of God. You don't really understand this God. All right? Now, let me come back quickly from there. All right. It says, I didn't see anything other than that which Moses, a prophet, and Moses will come. Look at it. Verse 23. I added out, you know, deliberately. What did the prophets and Moses said will come? All right. Verse 23. It says that. You won't see that in Christ. You won't see that in Moses' word. But Paul is putting it together that all that they were saying is that the Christ would suffer. All right. Of course, for him to suffer, he would have been born. All right. He would have been crucified, you know, and all. All right. And that he will be the first to rise from the dead. So Moses said this. So the prophet said this. All right. Oh, by the time we get to our study in the Old Testament, it's going to be a beautiful one. All right. Are we not even studying Old Testament? We will get there. Don't worry. Maybe in another 5 years. Let's deal with this. Let's get the basis fine first. So, because we're going to go back to Moses and reread Moses. All right? Yeah, 5 years is long. Don't worry. Don't worry. All right? In another 5 years, we will get... So, you will reread Moses. Eh? By the time we do our study on Genesis, I will just ask you to change your glasses. All right? And put Christ glasses. You will see Genesis in a different light. All right? Don't worry. Let's, all right. So Moses said that Christ will suffer. Isaiah said that Christ will suffer. All right. Habakkuk, Amos, Obadiah, all of them. That's what they were saying. All right. Now let's come back. And he says, those were the guiding principles of my life. I didn't say any other thing than that. Okay. So we must have such guiding principle and they must be in God's word. Hallelujah. Let's do some more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. In this series, we're going to be challenging ourselves. We're going to be encouraging ourselves. And I'm going to be encouraging us together as a church as well. That we must have some, you know, some propelling principles that propels your life, that propels our lives, that guides the things that we do. Look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, All right? Now, that's jumping to the middle of a thought. But then let's we can get the context. Because now he was talking about Christ, that he suffered, he was beaten, he didn't retaliate and all. All right? And see, look at these principles. This principle, particularly here, Christ was beaten, he suffered, you know, and all. But then he says, and we were called into that. Huh? So part of the things we're going to learn is that we've been called into the suffering of Christ. Let's leave that. Because Christ also suffered for us. Now, the bit, the design, the template is that, look at it, leaving us an example. This is where we got our, you know, that we rephrased to doing life by design. That design, I'm not just cooking up a design. That design is there already in God's word, that we must now begin to find it out and build on it. Paul will tell us in First Corinthians chapter 3, all right, verse 9 and 10. He said the foundation has been built already. The design has been built already. The framework has been set already. The mold, the template is presented to us already. We are not allowed to build our own. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, that we are built upon the foundations of the apostles, all right, and of the prophets, okay? We cannot build our own, all right? We are supposed to find that design and build on it. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. He says we've been built on the foundation of the apostles, Ephesians 2:20. All right. And of the prophet. He says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Are you seeing the point? All right. So we must, as believers in Christ Jesus, we must therefore apply this to ourselves as well. Do you agree with me on this? Yes. Is it making sense at all? Yes. Hallelujah. All right. So we're talking about framework, that it's not just enough to have a vision. All right. Yeah. You must have a vision, and that desire and actions, they are not just enough. You need desire. It must be passion. You must have that hot, burning desire, that passion that drives, that wakes you up every morning. But we're saying it's not just enough. All right? Because you could have well been applying that passion, that desire in a wrong direction. All right? Or with a wrong model, with a wrong framework. But that there is an expectation of God upon our lives. All right? That must guide our action. That must guide our desires. That must guide the vision that you have for your life. Hallelujah. So therefore, we must be careful not to impose a modern or a cultural definition on the church. Are you getting my point? All right. Don't give it a new, our modern day definition. Oh, in that church, I like their music. Church is not about music. All right. It's not about music at all. That's all right. Those ones came in recently. All right. It's not about music. There's nothing wrong with music in church. But church is not. Oh, I like the choir. That church, they have the best choir. Where did that come from? What model is that? What framework is that in God's word? All right? So we have such definition. Oh, that church, they have the best sound in town. Where is that coming from? All right? There's nothing wrong with you have good sound, but at what point did that become a metric to benchmark churches? Hallelujah. All right? Oh, I like the suit of that pastor. Unbelievers wear better suits. All right, so the church of God is defined. There's a framework that defines the things that we do. Oh, that church, they sing, you know, let's leave all of those, okay? What I'm trying to say is that we cannot give it a modern day definition. All right, just like in our profession as well, we have this standard, this methodology that we follow. We can't just, the population is 250. But the way I'm feeling, and the standard says that if it's this one and with this risk and with this, that this is the population that you take. But me, I'm just feeling, okay, because Tolu did as, it's not because of Tolu. You must follow the methodology. Otherwise, you'll be wrong at the end of the day. You will have done well, done all the details and so, but the methodology that must drive the action is wrong. All right? So we must be careful. All right, not to impose a modern day or a cultural. Say, oh, this is one of the things that I got to know when we first came to Jersey is that Africans like to pray. That's wrong. That's wrong. The Bible teaches Christians to pray. It's not about Africans. It's not about Europeans. It's not about Americans. It's not about Asians. It's about there is this standard that guides our lives. Hallelujah. Am I making sense, friends?
Yes,
sir. See, if we don't follow this foundation, all right, then we get a lot of things wrong, all right? And have you noticed, when you don't have where you're going, it's easy to follow what other people are doing, all right? Oh, someone is going to Bristol. Let me join them. Were you going to go to Bristol before? You must know where you're going. Where you're going actually is in, which one starts with B? Birmingham, all right? You need to join the train or the bus or the flight, wherever, to Birmingham. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right? We're talking about doing life by design. Hallelujah. All right? So, because the things that we do as believers, we must be careful so that it is God's word that is driving them, not culture. Now, I don't have anything about culture. Culture is beautiful. All right? We embrace and celebrate to the end that it supports God's word. All right? Right? To the end that it aligns the culture of honor, of respect. All right? It's all right. All right? Because I won't be rude to you. It's not right. All right? But the culture that tells me not to pray or not to evangelize, it's contrary to the foundation of our faith. All right? And we don't embrace that. Okay? So we must be careful not to give a political definition to the church. All right? We must not modify the church or the purpose of the church, all right, to fit our preferences and our agenda such that it loses its true purpose and its calling as established in the scripture, in the framework. So what should guide our lives, all right, should be the framework of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to get to visions, all right? And one of the things I will tell you to do, I will encourage you rather to do, is after now, before the year runs out, don't just pick a pen and write. Have a think. What actually do I want to know? What's the vision? All right? And because you are a believer, because you've been born with a price, you will align that vision, all right, to the will of God. Or better put, you will find a framework that will support or that vision that we ride on. And I'm presenting to you today that God's word is profitable. All right? It guarantees a consistent action and a consistent result each time. It tells you how to pray. It tells you how to evangelize. It tells you to attend churches. It tells you to give. It tells you to love. It tells you to pray. It tells you to be consistent. It tells you to honor. I mean, it gives direction to those actions. Hallelujah. Now, talking about life by design. Let's look at this quickly. The Bible, all right, or just Jesus Christ before he died. Listen, please, I'm switching the thoughts now. The Bible, Jesus before he died, all right, just before he was going to die. Of course, he's been saying it before he died, but there was more emphasis on that topic as he was going to die, all right. It was about him instructing believers to wait for the gift of the Spirit. You remember that story? We'll not be able to read. All right. So, okay, he had appeared to them for 40 days now. Before that, he'd been telling them, okay, I sent to you the gift of the Father or the promise of the Father. I give you the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit, Holy Spirit that has been promised. All right. And he told them to wait for it. All right. Don't forget, he had told them that they will be his witness. Pay attention. He had told them that they will be his witness, his ambassador, that they will be, that you saw me, you saw the holes in my hand. You say you are witnesses to these things, all right? But the witness is not enough. The fact that they saw him, that they were with him for 40 days, all right, is not enough. He will yet tell them to wait for the gift of the Spirit. Correct? All right? Now, that in Acts chapter 1 and 2, okay? So, before that, I told them, listen, make disciples of all the nations. Preach, we've just finished that, okay, here out, all right? Preach to all creatures and all right? He told them all of those, but he told them to wait. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let's read that quickly. Then we're going to read 8 as well, but Acts 1, 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Thank you, all right? So, and being assembled together with them, that's Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Again, look at... Now, we are now beginning to look at frameworks now, okay? Models, things, how people were built on their model, right? You know, I've told us once that Christianity is quote-unquote copy and paste, all right? I don't want to cook up my own Acts chapter 1 verse 4. It must be the same. All right? If you have a chemistry teacher, okay, didn't do chemistry. But anyway, you did chemistry. Okay? That is teaching you a chemistry, say, organic structure. Okay? All right? That is different from what they are teaching in another school. All right? So they said this organic structure, the chemical formula is this, 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 and that. All right? And it had better be the same in school B. All right? Otherwise, there's a central body that will mark it right or wrong. You get the point? So it's the same faith. Okay? It's the same faith. This one that, our church is this one. No, it's the same faith. Okay, let me move on from that. So the point is that he commanded the church, being assembled together, all right, to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. All right. So in verse 8, Acts 1:8, the same chapter. Thank you. It says, but you will receive power. All right. Pay attention. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. All right. And in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the world. Now, the point I'm trying to bring out from here is that you will notice that they told them to wait before they go and witness. But the Holy Spirit eventually came so that they can witness, right? So that they can witness. Now, let me just make the conclusion quickly and move on. It tells us, therefore, that the Holy Spirit came for witnessing. Right? All right? Have you noticed that all of the miracles they did, they've been doing it before? Jesus gave them power to heal the sick. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And they went in twos. He sent the 12. He sent the 70. All right, they did miracles. They cast out demons. All right, so the power, and he gave them power. Okay, and they did that by the power. He says, and they came back. They gave him report that, in your name, we cast out demons in your name. And they trembled and all of those in your name. So they did that already, even before he died. All right, Jesus gave that power. But he said that you will take power here. What's this power for? We are seeing that this power is for witnessing. In other words, this power is for service, right? In other words, this power is for ministry, right? Hallelujah, all right? So the Holy Spirit we're looking at patterns, right? Templates, frameworks in the scripture, right? So the Holy Spirit, therefore, in the life of a believer is for ministry. Did I say that very well? Is that clear? All right, so... And we've taught ourselves that every believer has got the Spirit of God in him or her. And what the Holy Spirit does in us is that he helps us to minister. All right? So it is for ministry. So a template that you're going to see in God's word, a framework is that, we have been called to do ministry. Hallelujah. So the apostles, let's just drive very fast now. So the apostles, they knew the essence of the gift of the Holy Spirit. They knew that the Holy Spirit is for ministry. Now, do you know how we started? Vision, actions and desire, a framework. Now, we're now looking at those standards, those patterns that we saw in the scripture. Jesus told us that, I will give you the Spirit, and that Spirit, amongst many other things that he's going to do, is that it will help us to minister effectively. All right? The question will be, therefore, the framework will be, therefore, that every believer is supposed to be in ministry. All right. If the Holy Spirit is given for witnessing, for ministry, all right. Now, notice I'm not saying maybe pastor, but for service, all right, for serving Jesus, for witnessing his gospel, then it means that every believer has been called into the ministry of Christ Jesus. We have a calling. We're going to talk more about that next week. Okay. So the apostles, they knew the essence. They knew that the essence of the Holy Spirit is for ministry. Hallelujah. Let's just do some quick reading here. Some very quick reading here. Acts chapter, I want us again to see some framework, some progression. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Acts 2, 44, please. Acts 2, 44. Thank you. I just want us to see some progression, okay? Now, so this Acts chapter 2 here will be on the day of Pentecost. So let's save time. We know what happened. Peter preached, all right? And now, all who believed were together. So here, they were believers, all right? Now, we're talking about design, about a framework, a structure we can see. They are all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, they were believers, okay? Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Again, look at it. However, many of those who had the word believed. Okay? So again, they were believers. I would also see the progression. All right? So we have believers. Okay? Believers. Believers. Acts chapter 5. Verse 42. See what happened to them? We're talking about having a design. All right? These are the design. These are the patterns that we saw in the scripture. Acts 5. 4. And daily. Again, how often were they meeting? Daily. All right. Now it talks about constant teaching, constant meeting. All right. Tell us that in their days, well, they met daily in the temple and in every house. What were they doing? And they did not cease to teach. All right. So they were teaching, they were preaching. All right. That Jesus is Christ. Okay. Now, what's the result of that? I want us to see. Okay. Because what we see is the result of teaching and preaching. What it will produce is what we're going to see now in chapter 6. Look at the progression. Believers. All right. Teaching. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. All right. You will see what this set of people. All right. Now look at it. Now in those days, when the number of believers. Can you see that it has changed to disciples? All right, you can see the progression. All right, now there are who are disciples? Disciples are trainees, apprentices in that sense. All right, the word is mathetes in the Greek. It means a pupil, a learner, someone that is learning something. All right, I was thinking. Do you notice one of the patterns, one of the framework we're going to see in God's word is that all of the disciples of Jesus Christ, all right, they were in ministry. All right, all of them did, because their master was in ministry. All right, and all of them did ministry. Praise God. He sent all of them out to do ministry. Okay, now, would it not be an anomaly? Sir, you know, myself and Dean, we were doing some project together last week. And, you know, we're just making fun that now I'm your apprentice. I'm learning to, you know, saw the wood and all. Now, you know, we're just working together and God bless you, sir. Anyway, so we're doing that together. Okay. Now, is in that scenario, my master, all right, I'm his apprentice. Would it not be awkward that a woodworker who is a master, all right, what you expect of a disciple, of an apprentice, of a woodworker, is a woodworker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right? So you expect someone, a tailor, all right, to produce a tailor. Because that's what you learn from the master. But then, if you meet a tailor, and what is producing is a mechanic, something is not right, all right? If Jesus is our master and we are actually his disciple, Jesus was in ministry, he gave us a task, then what he should produce, all right, is ministers. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm just trying to make us see that when we insist that we all should be ministers, we are not, it's a pattern, it's an expectation in God's word. Wow. Okay. Praise God. All right. let's finish this thought. Doing life by design. So in those days, the disciples now were multiplying. Now they're not just disciples. They were not just believers, just people that are just coming. Now they've taught them. They've trained them. They are now disciples. Now, okay, they are now growing in the knowledge of God's word. Now they are now disciples. They are now learning. It means that you shouldn't just stay at believers. We should not just be comforted. Now, I'm not saying don't be a believer. Those disciples, they are believers, no doubt, all right? But we should graduate from that, all right? To learn the principles of Jesus. Because that is what he expects from us. Hallelujah. Talking about life by design. All right. At the end of this study, it will be easy for me to make a conclusion on what we are doing at the Believers House Church. What we intend to do with the lives and people that God has trusted us with. All right. That we don't want it to be comfortable, quote unquote, not going about the job, the business of the master. Because who Jesus is training us to be is to be like him. All right? And if he is a minister, if he went about doing the purpose of God, all right, that had better be the framework that I adopt, all right, and encourage everyone to do the biddings of the Father. Acts 11, verse 1. Again, don't forget, this is the same church in Jerusalem, all right? Look at this same set of people. Now the apostles and the brethren. So now they're now grouping them together. The apostles and the brethren, they are now brothers and sisters in church. This will be the 5,000, the 3,000 that were added. Of course, not all of them. But again, look at the way they were. Now the apostles and the brethren, hallelujah, among those people, Acts chapter 15, all right? Sorry, before you go to Acts chapter 15, just get Acts 15, 4. Just get that ready. You notice that what was happening here is that they were going to settle matters in church. Peter had gone to Cornelius' house. All right? And they were going to ask him questions. Why did you go to Cornelius' house? Why did you? See whom they call. These ones, they are now, because they are disciples, they were not part of the people that was going to make decision. They are not just bench warmers anymore. They are now part of the church. They will be part of the people that will assess what Peter did, whether it was right or wrong. Hallelujah. James, the brother of Jesus, will be the pastor of that church. But then, it was the apostles and the brethren. Acts chapter 15, verse 4. Look at it. Again, another issue. This is about Paul and all that he has done with the Gentiles, okay? That he had preached to them, and some folks insist that they will be baptized and all. But now they said they brought the case, all right, to Jerusalem. Look at these people. See, those believers, those disciples, those brethren, look at them here. Now, when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. Did you see my point? All right? The progression is that they've now grown. All right? They've now grown. They've grown beyond the believers, all right, or the onlookers in Acts chapter 2, all right, now to the believers, all right, now to disciples, now to brethren, now they were now elders, they were now pastors, they were now leaders of, in other words, they are now ministers. That is the pattern. That is the design. So we said, doing life by design. This is the design that we saw in church. Hallelujah. We'll take it from there next week. Let me read this conclusion. The apostles, therefore, they had a clear vision. Can we agree?
Yes.
We are not just playing with people. Okay, let's just have them. Let's just keep growing. Let's have mega church. I'm not against mega. We're going to grow and be big. Hallelujah. There's no doubt about that. But we are rather sort ourselves now and get our house together. All right? Because we don't want to build on a faulty foundation. It's clear. What I want to do with your life, quote and unquote, with your life, all right, as a pastor, is to make you a pastor. Hallelujah. We're talking about doing life by design, all right? What I want to do with your lives, let me change that so that it sounds right. What Jesus wants to do with our lives, all right, is so that nobody's just there thinking, oh, it's just for Ayo and their team. No. I've been saying now every week now. No. All right. What Jesus wants to do with our lives is to be apostles, is to be elders, is to be ministers. That was why he gave the Spirit. He told them to wait. All right. Now we have the Holy Spirit. It's not just there to be, no. It's there, all right, to make us ministers. So the apostles, they understand this very well. They had a clear vision. And that vision, all right, was crucial to how they carried out their work in ministry. All right? It was not accidental. Time will not permit me to talk about, maybe next week, about Philip. Philip got to Samaria, all right? He preached to everybody there. And immediately called for the elders, ministered the Holy Spirit to this one, and they began to prophesy. The moment you begin to prophesy, you become a minister. Because you are now speaking forth to the people. Immediately, all right? Paul, we meet some folks in Acts chapter 19, all right? Have you met the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Immediately, all right? Bible says they prophesied. And now he will now continue to teach them for about 2 years. And later on, we're going to read next week, okay? Those ones also become elders. All right? Are you seeing what I'm saying about framework? So that we don't just cook up our own that, oh, that's our church. They just like us to be, well, that's the Bible. That's the framework. God's word is profitable for direction. All right? We're going to continue next week. It may even be our Christmas message. Doing life by design. You want to ask your friend, what design guides, what road are you driving on? All right? What design, what template are you following? Is it just some template that is very popular, trendy templates? All right? No. God's word is the template. Patterns in the scriptures, they are the templates, hallelujah, that we must follow. God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for we've seen evidences, we've not even seen enough. I'm going to show you some more about when Paul, how people grew in the Bible, all right? What was happening there? Okay, now Paul will preach. They were pricking their heart. They became believers. They didn't just sit down. They became disciples. They didn't just sit down. They were part of the church. What is happening? They became elders. So part of that will be Philip. Part of that will be Stephen. Part of that will be those seven deacons. All right? That will now go every. Part of them. That's what Jesus taught us in the Bible. Hallelujah. So we've not even gone to the Believers House Church vision. We've just seen that is the framework that is guiding what we are doing with the lives that we have here. And I want to encourage you, friends, all right? Have a vision for your life. Let it be guided by the principles of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to continue apparently next week, all right? Encouraging ourselves, all right? Persuading ourselves with the vision of God for the BXC Church.